how did it happen that this tour around Germany and the Netherlands as well got to be?
We organized a gathering in Gaaloch 2021, and then a lot of people from Germany showed up, which was really cool. We had a lot of discussions, and I think they kind of created like a network in solidarity with struggles in Sápmi, and that kind of resulted in they wanting to organize this tour, and they got in contact with me, and then we also talked to Henrik and some other people, but now it ended up being us going. So they've been kind of organizing this trip, and we wanted to join. And then we made this book, and then we realized we could publish the book before the tour, and now we have the book on the tour, and the book is called No Mining Gaaloch. So we're also spreading that.
Before that event in Gaaloch, has there been any other involvement with German climate activists?
Me and also some other people that I know have been going to forest occupations in Germany, like the Hambach Forest and Danny and Lützerath, and then got to know people. And then those people have been coming up to like gatherings in Sápmi. It's been more and more exchange, and it's also something that I think will grow more and is growing. And that's my hope, at least. And I think it's really inspiring to see how like maybe the seeds of the German forest occupations can also spread to Sápmi and plant something there.
You yourself, you're from the south of Sweden, and you got up to the north part to Sápmi some years ago. What was your intention originally?
I was just finished at the university. I studied human ecology, and I realized that the way of living that I had been growing up with was built on this structure of exploitation, that everything around me came from somewhere else, and I kind of wanted to know where it came from. And somehow I just felt like I have to start go up north. So I just started hitchhiking north to meet people trying to stop the exploitation. And eventually I managed to meet a few people that had been doing some blockades. And then it just kind of went from there. And we went to Gaaloch, and there was a produce camp there. And after that, we bought like a house in the north. And now we have like a small community there. So I think it's just coincidences, but also that I just felt like I wanted to see the backside of the city, like where everything comes from.
So you're talking about exploitation there, and in some sort of, maybe we could call it pop culture in Germany, at least as I experienced it. Sweden is like, everything's good there, everything is great there, they have a great education system, everything is digitalized. It's like Sweden is the future, and the struggle in the northern parts, it's a lot about this green capitalism, like building wind parks and searching for materials to put in electric cars, which seems to be, at least when we look at pop media, the way to create a better future. How do climate activists in Sweden think about this perfect electrified future?
Sweden is a very long country. What struck me when I came, like when I moved up north, is that it feels like I came to another country. Like the north of Sweden and the south of Sweden, it's like two different cultures. Like the nature looks different also. So I think it depends on who you ask. And there's not so much exchange between the south and the north. Like people in the south, they generally don't know so much about the north. Like I did, I was very naive when I moved up north. I didn't know anything. And I guess people in the south imagines the north to be like all this beautiful forests and mountains and And I mean, that exists, but it's also being taken away so fast, and there's almost no natural forests left. And if they manage to make all these new mines, all the drinking water is going to be destroyed. But Sweden has been really good at holding up this like image of itself as neutral and nice and climate smart and fair, and they have like perfect system globally. But that's just bullshit. That's just a facade. Like, that's not what's happening. They're not neutral. Like, for example, during the wars, Sweden produced a lot of the weapons that goes to different countries. So they kind of do it in this. The Swedish state has really managed to do it in a sneaky way. And this green transition is just another thing. Like, they're silencing the Sami communities, the voices, like they don't even get to speak at the universities, or like you don't hear about the Sami people in schools or anything. It's because the Samis, all of them, are critical against this development that the Swedish state and the companies want, which is the green transition. But I think they just want to quiet down the opposition, basically.
Henrik said that it's a small movement working against those huge capitalist companies. He also said that lots of people, even in the north, have been fooled by the government or other media, that this green capitalist involvement is a good thing. How did you yourself experience this? Is there some sort of clash between the activists and those who prefer this, wind parks and stuff?
I've experienced this during many of the blockades. There's always people coming and they say, like, don't you want us to have like a good job and like a living community where we can work in the mines? And like, why are you against us getting all these new industries so that we get work and we get money and we can like be a strong community, like economically? And I think many people think back at the time when the hydrogen power was established and there was a lot of work in the forest and many people living in the north, in the countryside and things like this. But they think very short-mindedly. They just think like, yeah, we get these jobs for 15, 20 years. But then what? Like, then when all the metals are gone from this mine, then there's no job anymore and then you've destroyed everything. So I think mainly the people that are against, that are living up there, like against the resistance or like for this development, they are mainly talking about short-term like benefits for people working there. And I don't blame them. Like, it's really hard to get jobs up there. But also, I mean, tourism is a really big job, like eco-tourism, for example. There's many different ways people could get money that would be way much better.
The Swedish government itself is conservative to right-wing. And you yourself, you have experience with German forest occupations. So there, I don't know, it's been quite a lot of police violence. Do you think that the increase of protests against new wind parks and new mines, with also the development, the political developments, might lead to a different strategy also from the police?
I know that right now the Swedish police force is being educated by German police forces that has experience from like occupations in Germany. So I think they're counting on that things are happening, but right now they are very inexperienced. Like, they have no clue how to handle things like this. And also in the north of Sweden, there's like almost no police. If we do a blockade, then all the police would be there. If we would do two blockades at the same time, they would have to get people from like Stockholm, like super far away. So, I mean, we can really use this kind of situation to our advantage also. That's they are very inexperienced and they're not so many. They don't have so much resources. I've even had like discussions with cops, and we can actually resonate because they also feel like, yeah, we don't get any resources to the cops in the north. They get all the resources in the south, and we can like be pissed together a bit. So it's kind of interesting, like, I think, to discuss. There's also like Sami cops. There's been cops that come up to us afterwards and says, I quit my job. I'm not going to support this. What you're doing is great. So there's all kinds of cops, but some of them also violent, of course. I think if the resistance is going to step up, I guess they will also step up.
You want to say anything? Something that I've missed with my questions and you want to tell?
I really think we should work more on trying to connect struggles. Like, we also been talking about going to like Norway or Finland, and like now we're in Germany, and I think we need to support each other and also learn from each other. And also, since like most of the shit that's going on in the north of Sweden or in Sápmi with the mining and the forest industries and the wind turbines, most of this shit is going down to Germany. So I think also like Germans should really reflect upon this, like, where does all my stuff come from and what consequences does it have? Or like, this might look green here, but like, how does it look for the people actually affected by the consequences of these energy sources and the resources extraction? And like, how can people in Germany support the struggle against that, or like just be more aware of what's going on?